Hey, y'all, it's Bo Haig. Thank you so much for listening to this message today. If you have questions, please contact us at 580-216-6427. And we hope that God uses this message to change your life.
We have been in a series called Happy Hour. And how about you? This is what I feel. I believe that church ought to be the happiest hour of the week. Amen? We ought to have some happy hour. And right here. Well, we've been in this series, and in this series we've been covering two topics, and we've kind of alluded to them already. The alcohol and the Holy Spirit. And you say, well, how do those two go together? Well, Ephesians 5:18 has been our key verse, and this is what it says. You can follow on the screen. It says this: do not be drunk on wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. We had an awesome time at our ranch rodeo, and part of our ranch rodeo is advertising, right? I mean, we got to advertise things. So Jason Nell and I, is Jason here today? No? Jason Nell and I, we always get on the radio. Anybody ever heard us on the radio? Did anybody hear us on K101 this time, this last time? Yes, okay, good. Well, you guys know this story that I'm fixing to tell. On the way in to K101, they usually talk about topics that are pretty, you know, controversial and topics that, you know, most pastors wouldn't talk about right before I go on. And it's kind of fun. And so this time when I was driving in, I was listening to the radio, and I was driving in, they were talking about how Coors, you know, the beer company, Coors has cut back on water usage by 9%. By 9%, because we've been in a drought, right? And they've been cutting back on water usage by 9%. Well, one of the DJs that was on the radio, and again, I don't know their names. There's some new people. But anyways, one of them said, well, if they would stop watering down their beer, then they could cut back on water intake or water usage even more. Right? I mean, this guy was kind of, he knew what that, you know, drinking beer was. And so anyways, he said, well, you know, if they'd cut back on watering down their beer, then they, you know, could cut back on water usage as well. And the other DJ said, well, you can always go to the liquor store where they sell 6-point beer, right? And the guy said, well, I don't want to go to the liquor store. I mean, it's hot. I mean, the beer's hot there. You know, it's not in a cooler and all that stuff. Well, here's the thing. As I thought about that, as I was driving, I thought, Lord, how can I work in Coors and liquor and all this stuff into my, you know, interview? Well, I was like praying the whole time, Lord, help me to figure something out, because I wanted to throw that in because I wanted them to know that I was listening to them when I was driving in. And so we went through the interview about the ranch rodeo and all that stuff. And at the very end, he asked me about our church, and he said, so how's the church going? You know, what's your church kind of like? And I said, well, you know, we meet at the Woodward Livestock Auction at 10:30 on Sundays, and it's going great. And we're kind of like the liquor store because we don't water things down. I was like, they looked at me like, whoa, baby. So I don't know about you, but I mean, again, you say, well, why are you teaching this series? Why are you on this series? Here's why we are teaching about alcohol and the Holy Spirit. Because here's the truth. Alcohol and the Holy Spirit are some of the least talked about things in the church. I mean, again, if I was to ask you how many of you guys heard a story or a sermon about alcohol, half of you would say, or more than half, you'd say, I never heard anything about alcohol in my church. And if I said, how many of you guys have ever heard a sermon about the Holy Spirit? Half of you or more would say, no, I've never heard it. But here's the truth. In the Bible, alcohol and the Holy Spirit are talked about a whole heck of a lot. And so here's the thing. We desire to talk about things that the Bible talks about. And we are going to not be cowards and not talk about things that, again, may be a little controversial, may not, but it doesn't really matter. And so that's why we've been talking about alcohol and the Holy Spirit. And you may not agree with me. And can I just say this for all the teenagers? Here's the thing, teenagers. Listen, your parents set the rules in your house. And I look over at these teenagers and they're like, yeah, I know. No matter what I say, and again, the Word of God is clear on certain things and it's not clear on certain things. So you obey your parents. Can I get an amen? Obey your parents and listen to the Word of God. And if your parents are going against the Word of God, again, maybe we need to have a discussion with your parents. But here's the thing. We've been talking about alcohol. And again, the first message that I preached was entitled, What Would Jesus Brew? How come it's always silent when I do that? I mean, I thought that was the coolest, you know, title for a message. What Would Jesus Brew? I thought about getting bracelets made. WWJ or JB, you know? What would Jesus brew? And here's the questions that we asked. Can a Christian drink alcohol and not sin? Well, again, some of you guys are like, heck no, no. Devil's brew. Alcohol's bad. And again, in some cases, it may not be good for you. But here's what I believe Jesus would say. Jesus would say that alcohol is a gift from God. Amen. I believe that he would say alcohol is a gift from God. But here's the thing. Just like money, just like food, just like, you know, sex, just like all those other things that are gifts from God, we can mess them up. Amen? And so, again, I believe Jesus would say alcohol is a gift from God. His first miracle was turning the water into the wine. Why would he do that if it was a sin to drink in moderation? Here's what else Jesus would say. Can a Christian drink alcohol and not sin? He would say, yes, you can, but drunkenness is a sin. Can I get an amen on that too? Drunkenness has never led to anything but heartache and pain and all that other stuff. Here's the other question that we answered. Not only can you drink alcohol and not sin, but here's the thing. Should you drink alcohol? That's the better question. Again, I may come from a family that maybe has a little alcoholism in my background. So for me, it may not be as wise for me to drink alcohol because I may like it too much. The other question is, the other part of that question or that answer is, it may not be wise for you to drink around certain people. There's a lot of people that have been abused because of alcohol. May not be a good idea for you to drink alcohol around them. Okay? And so again, those are the questions that we answered about alcohol. A few weeks ago, I moved on to the subject of the Holy Spirit. And here's the thing about the Holy Spirit. Again, some of you guys have grown up in churches where they didn't talk about the Holy Spirit, and all you ever saw about the Holy Spirit was the craziness that you see on TV. Anybody seen craziness on TV? Anybody watch TV? Seen some crazy things on TV. Here's how I would compare some people's relationship to the Holy Spirit. Here's how I would compare it. I compare it to a trophy saddle. Now, again, I've never won a trophy saddle, so I don't know how this feels, but some of you guys have won trophy saddles. And what do you do with a trophy saddle? You don't do anything with it. If you think about trophy saddles, look at Trevor Brazil. He's got like 18 or 70, he's got like 750 probably. But he's got 18 world championships, and he probably has these saddles lined up. I think I've seen a picture of it where he has these, little shelves where he lines up all his trophy saddles and he just leaves them there in the trophy case. I believe that we treat the Holy Spirit the same way we do that trophy saddle. Sometimes we look at, that saddle and we go, hey, that's admirable. That saddle's really, really nice. But we never use the saddle itself. It's the same way with the Holy Spirit. I admire what the Holy Spirit can do. I even believe in the Holy Spirit. I even desire maybe to, look at him every now and then, but I don't want him to use me, and I don't want to use him. Because all that freaky stuff. You know what I'm saying? Here's the desire for me in this series. I desire to show you that a personal, thriving relationship with the Holy Spirit doesn't have to be weird. Can I get an amen? Some of you guys are like, stuck up, prune. You're just as tight as can be because we're talking about the Holy Spirit. Relax. I'm not bringing the snakes in this week. I'm bringing them in next week. And we're going to play with them. No, I'm just kidding. that's later. Some of you guys are like, don't put it past him. He's going to bring him. But here's the thing. A few weeks ago we looked at, who is the Holy Spirit? Well, we learned that the Holy Spirit is God, right? The Holy Spirit is not an it. It's a person. He is a person, right? And so the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is a person. And you say, where did the Holy Spirit come from? Well, the truth is the Holy Spirit has been there since the beginning of time. Before the earth was created, the Holy Spirit was hovering over the formless earth. And then during creation, the Holy Spirit was there to create the world. He was there in Genesis. We talked about that. The Holy Spirit has been at work in the Old Testament. The Bible is split in, it's split in the Old Testament in the front before Jesus and then the New Testament in the back. And the Holy Spirit was at work in the Old Testament working and moving in people's lives. And so you say, where did he come from? Well, that's where he came from. And is he at work today? Absolutely. When Jesus went to be back in heaven, Listen, the Holy Spirit came to this earth and he began a new ministry within our lives. And he began to fill us. And that's the amazing work of the Holy Spirit. Well, the last time I preached, we talked about the roles of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And the first thing that we learned was this. The Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin and shows us our need for Jesus Christ. And some of you guys are like, I hate that part. No, listen, I love that part. You know why? Because when the Holy Spirit convicts me of my sin, then I know that he's living in my life. It's one of the greatest gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us is he comes in and he says, that's wrong. You know what that does for me? It keeps me from doing more wrong. And so again, the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin and reveals our need for Christ. The Holy Spirit comes into our lives, number two, and we receive the Holy Spirit the moment that we give our life to Christ, and he comes into our lives. And then the third thing was the Holy Spirit transforms us. You go from being a sinner lost and destined for hell to being a saint, a sinner saved by grace and destined for heaven. Can I get an amen on that? Come on now. Some of you guys need to get the Holy Spirit in you today. Listen, today I want to continue our look at what the Holy Spirit's role is in our lives. And there are two of my favorite things about the Holy Spirit. And here's number four. And again, we went through 1 through 3 a few weeks ago. Number four is this. The Holy Spirit is our helper. This is so cool. I love this. I love it. I love it. I love it. Because the Holy Spirit is our helper. Listen to these scriptures. Jesus is eating the Last Supper before he dies. And he gives, and he says, I'm going to send you a friend called the Holy Spirit. Listen to what he says in John chapter 14. He says, if you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate or helper who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. Some great scriptures right there. All right, I got a poll. I want to take a poll. How many of you guys, I want to take a poll between the two grocery stores. How many of you guys are Walmart people? Walmart people, you go to Walmart. Yeah. How many of you guys are United people? United. Why do you go to United? What's that? It's faster. I've learned this about United. Everybody there pays cash. Have you ever noticed that? They're all the people that hate debit cards. You know, they hate credit cards. But here's the thing. I was in Walmart the other day, and some of you guys, okay, let me ask you this. How many of you guys would rather not go to Walmart? You would rather be stabbed to death by a dull knife. Come on. All right. Well, I don't mind going to Walmart because me and the jewelry lady, we're like this. and when all the lines are long, I go to the jewelry lady because it's short. She's like, do you have any jewelry in there? And I'm like, no. And she's like, well, okay. And I said, well, anyways, me and the jewelry lady, we kind of get along, but we kind of don't because I always use her. But here's the thing. The other day I was at Walmart, and this is a shout out to all you moms. Here's the other thing. I was at Walmart with all three kids. Woohoo! All three kids. And here I go, and I'm getting into the self-checkout line, which is of the devil. So I'm getting in the self-checkout line, and here I am. I'm trying to check out, and I got three kids. One's falling out the cart. One's crying. One of them wants me to help her, you know, do something. Anyways, and so my friends, Grayson and Becky. Becky right up here. Wave, Becky. Becky's right there. I want to introduce her. Becky was, and Grayson and their son Carl, they were standing in the line behind us. And I know what they were thinking. We are never going to get out of here. And so anyways, I was talking to Grayson. We were kind of chatting, and all my kids are going wild, and we're trying to do the self-checkout, and my kids are like, Daddy, let me help, you know. And so anyways, Becky, who is a great hand, stepped around me. She was seeing, again, that she was going to be there all day. She stepped around me, and she began to assist me by checking out all the stuff that I had purchased. Right? Give it up for Becky. I'm praying that Becky will be on our staff one of these days. She did an awesome job. But here's the thing. She stepped in when I felt like I was over my head. And again, all shout outs to wives and moms and all that. Listen, she stepped in and she helped me when I felt like, man, I could not get through this line in an hour. I mean, again. And so here's the thing. The same is true for the Holy Spirit. When you feel like you're in over your head, when you feel like you don't know where to turn, the Holy Spirit is there to help. Amen. Amen? I mean, the Holy Spirit is there to help. And you say, you know, Bo, how does the Holy Spirit help us? Well, I could give you hundreds of ways, but I want to point out a few things. One of the things that the Holy Spirit provides for us is this. He provides help in finding crystal clear answers to the decisions in our life. You ever thought about that? I mean, some of you guys are like, how do I know who I'm supposed to marry? How do I know when I'm supposed to plant my crops? How do I know if I'm supposed to buy that horse? How do I know if I'm supposed to, you know, send my kid to college? How do I know if I'm supposed to, you know, date that girl? How do I know? Listen, the Holy Spirit is there to help you find crystal clear answers to the decisions in your life. I love that. I mean, there are decisions that I face every day. I meet with people that are dying in the hospital. And I don't know what to say, and I have to go, Holy Spirit, give me the words to say and shut my mouth when you want me to shut my mouth. And guess what? He does it. And so again, you say, well, what does all that mean? Well, verse 17 says this, He is the Holy Spirit, Jesus is talking, and he is he who leads us into all truth. You want to know what the truth is for your life? You want to know if you're supposed to marry that person or not? You want to know if you're supposed to have kids or not? You want to know if you're supposed to take that job or not? Listen, the Holy Spirit is there to lead you into whatever is true. You can read all the magazines. You can watch Dr. Phil. You can watch all those TV shows, and they will give you a bunch of worldly, cultural type stuff. But if you will turn to the Holy Spirit will guide you and give you the answers that you need. The first truth that the Holy Spirit shows us is our need for Jesus Christ. You want to know if you have a destiny? You want to know if you have a purpose? Listen, if you will ask the Holy Spirit, reveal to me my need for Jesus Christ, He will do it. Be ready, because He will do it. The other truths, they don't stop there, but here's the thing. Maybe you're here today and you're in a struggling relationship. Maybe you're here and you're struggling to find a relationship. Can I get an amen? E-Harmony, baby? I'm just kidding. You're struggling to find a relationship. Maybe you're in a bind at work. Maybe you have a friend who has a problem and you have no idea what to tell them. Here's my encouragement to you and here's my advice to you. Ask the Holy Spirit. Ask Him. Holy Spirit, give me the words to speak truth into this person's life. Help them to see Jesus in me. Help them to know that I serve a great Lord and Savior that has saved me from my sins and gives me hope every day. And help me to exude with that hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. And He will do it. Again, the Holy Spirit's not this weird it, not this creepy ghost. It's our helper. He is our helper. John 16, 13 and 14 says this, when the Spirit comes, or when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own, but will tell you what He has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever He receives from me. And again, Jesus gives Him the words. God gives Him the words, and He guides us into all truth. And you say, Bo, what do I do with my enemies? I mean, again, some of you guys face people and they're just like, Christianity's stupid. Christianity, that's a bunch of wieners. You guys believe in that stuff? You're weak. What do I say to those people? Listen, I face people like that sometimes in my life. And here's the thing about the Holy Spirit. When I face those opposition or those people that want to dog my faith, I pray and ask the Holy Spirit to give me the right answer. Because here's the truth. It's not about a fight between us and the world, right? And God doesn't say turn the other cheek when you get into a fight because He wants us to lose fights. You know what He wants us to do? He wants us to show the people that are watching the fight that we love Jesus. And so when I want to punch, the Holy Spirit says, no, don't punch. Let me give you the words that you need to say to that person. Luke chapter 12, it says this. It says, and when you are brought into a trial, and he's talking about his disciples, they're fixing to be persecuted. When you are brought to trial in the synagogues and before the rulers and authorities, don't worry about how to defend yourself or what to say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you at the time what needs to be said. Don't worry about it. I mean, again, I can worry about it all day long. You can worry about, what am I going to say to them? You know, every time I get around that person, what am I going to say? No, listen, the Holy Spirit will give you the words. And can I just say this? Your words always need to be wrapped in love. Can I get an amen on that? Even with your enemies, they need to be wrapped in love. Here's the other truth about the Holy Spirit. He doesn't only give you the words to say. He gives you the words not to say. Can I get an amen? Some of you guys need to hear this. You know, I'll use myself as an example. How many of you husbands, I'll just use us husbands. How many of you husbands, you walk in from a day at work and you walk in and you don't realize that your wife has had a hard day. And you want to come in and go, why isn't the house cleaned up? Where's my food? And the Holy Spirit prompts you and says, if you want to keep your life, then you will shut your mouth. I mean, the Holy Spirit has saved me from many cold nights on the couch. So the Holy Spirit doesn't only give us what to say, he gives us what not to say. He knows when we should be quiet. And so again, Jesus shows us that the Holy Spirit's nature is to help provide truth in our time of need and to give us those answers. Here's the second thing and I'm done. Actually, it's the fifth thing. Number four, again, the Holy Spirit is our helper. Number five is this, the Holy Spirit is our teacher. How many of you guys had a favorite teacher growing up? I didn't have one favorite teacher. I hated school. Can I get anybody that was with me on that? Yeah, you're dang right. But here's the thing. I did have a man in my life that taught me a lot about horses. His name was Larry Bolton. He has a son named Andy, and Andy and I were in the same class together. And when I fell in love with horses was when Larry Bolton and Andy Bolton came into our lives. Great man who's here today. He didn't really know a whole lot about horses and all about that stuff, so we had to turn to someone else, and that person was Larry Bolton. He found our horse for us. He found our saddle for us. The saddle cost more than the horse. Can I get an amen? But he taught me how to, you know, take care of a horse. He taught me how to brush a horse every time you saddle him. He taught me how to clean the hoofs out every time you ride him, which I don't do to this day, and I've let my teacher down. But here's the thing. He taught me all about horses. He taught me how to build a loop. He taught me how to take care of them. He taught me about everything about a horse. But here's the thing about a great teacher on earth. They're limited. But here's the truth about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not limited in what he knows. The Holy Spirit and God are the experts about everything in life. You say, I'm having trouble with my finances. Listen, the Holy Spirit is an expert teacher on finances. You say, I'm having trouble in my marriage. The Holy Spirit is an expert teacher on how to have a marriage that's going to last forever. You have questions about how to raise my kids. Listen, the Holy Spirit has the answers so he can teach you how to raise your kids. Listen to John chapter 14, verses 25 and 26. He says, I'm telling you these things now while I am still with you. And again, Jesus is talking. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will what? He will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. And so again, you say, well, how do I learn all this stuff? I wasn't raised by a godly father or mother. How do I learn how to, you know, love my husband? How do I learn how to love my wife? Listen, the Holy Spirit is the greatest teacher that ever created the earth. He's the greatest. I don't know about you, but that's incredible for me that I have the greatest teacher available to me so that I can learn. And here's the great thing about the Holy Spirit. Not only does he teach us everything, he reminds us. How many of you guys need to be reminded every now and then? I mean, and again, you say, well, okay, Bo, what is it? I mean, what does that look like? Well, listen, when you're facing doubt, guess what? The Holy Spirit will bring that verse on doubt to your mind. When you're facing fear, The Holy Spirit will bring that verse about God being the conqueror of all fear, and he'll bring it to your mind and he'll remind you of it. When you feel insecure, the Holy Spirit will bring those verses that talk about the value that God has in you and how he sent his son to die for you, that he loved you so much. Listen, and so you say, well, okay, does he only teach me that stuff and then I get to forget it? No, listen, he will remind you if you will seek out his word. And some of you guys are like, I still think the Holy Spirit's strange. I still think he's a stranger. And again, for me, when I have someone help me that's a stranger, I'm kind of weird. I just always keep an eye on them. Anybody like that? I mean, you get side of the road, you know, and somebody strange comes up and blah, blah, blah. You know, I mean, it's kind of strange. But here's the thing about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been around us all of our lives. The Holy Spirit is ever present. And he's been around us all of our lives. And if you will give your life to him, he will come and live inside of you. And you say, Bo, how do I gain this helper? And how do I gain this teacher? You got to trust in Jesus Christ. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit doesn't just dwell around you. He dwells within you. And he empowers you. And he teaches you, and he will help you for the rest of your life. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. First John 5:12 says this. Listen to this scripture. Whoever has the Son has life, and whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. And so here's the question. Do you have life? Have you given your life and you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ so that the Holy Spirit can come and live inside of you, so that he can help you, so that he can give you power over your sin, so that he can help you make decisions every day of your life? Listen, the first step in acquiring the Holy Spirit in your life is knowing Jesus Christ. You say, Bo, how do I do that? Listen, Jesus came to this earth. He was born in a manger. He wasn't born on a throne. He was born in a manger, and he came to die on a cross, and that's exactly what he did. He died on a cross so that you can be forgiven of your sin, and so that you can have the Holy Spirit, and so that he can guide you and give you the power that you need. And you say, how do I know Jesus? The Bible says this: if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, and you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's a gift. Just like the Holy Spirit's a gift, that he comes inside of your life, the gift of salvation is a gift as well. And here's the truth. Maybe you're sitting there right in your seat and you're feeling this tug on your heart. You can't ignore it. It's this tug on your heart. And in your mind, you know, oh, I don't know what's going on, but I know something's going on in my life. I can feel it. Listen, it's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit drawing you to himself so that he can come into your life, and so that through his Son, through the Son Jesus, you can be saved. Don't ignore the pounding. Don't ignore the thumping. Don't give in to the devil and allow the devil to make you wait another week. Listen, you have an opportunity right now to confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Maybe right there in your seat, you just want to pray that in your heart. Lord, I confess you as my Lord today. I give you my life. I surrender to you. Forgive me of my sin. I want the Holy Spirit to come into my life. I want him to guide me. I want him to be my helper. I want him to be my teacher, so that I don't just make a fool out of myself for the rest of my life, so that I can honor you for the rest of my life. And so come into my heart and save me. Maybe you just prayed that prayer. Listen, it's the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And we want to come alongside of you and help you grow in your new relationship with Christ. Here's how we ask you to do that. We just ask that you to fill out that orange card, place it in the yellow bucket, and we will contact you about your decision. We're not going to ask you to come to the front. We're not going to embarrass you. Just fill out the card, place it in the yellow bucket, and we will contact you. You say, but I don't want to do that. Here's something even easier. Text your name to the number on the screen as you leave today, and we will contact you. It's that simple. Here's the thing that I want to end on. Christians, are you scared of the power of the Holy Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit to you like that trophy saddle and you just admire him? I mean, yeah, he's a good guy. I mean, he's probably got some power, but no, I'm not going to use the Holy Spirit. And I'm not for sure not going to allow the Holy Spirit to use me. Listen, some of you are here today and that's you. And you need to confess that sin. And you need to say, Lord, forgive me for not allowing you to use me. And I want you to use me from here on out. Surrender again your life to the power of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you need to pray that as a Christian. Here's the other truth about the Holy Spirit. He'll never leave us. No matter what you do, no matter how far you go, he is always with you, and he will guide you, and he will bring you back if you will just give in to him. And so don't think, oh, I give my life to Christ, now I'm messed up, I can't go back. No, listen, the Holy Spirit is there to draw you back, and he loves you. And so here's the thing. I'm going to leave us in a word of prayer. And if you have questions, please ask. If you're a first-time guest, we want to connect with you as soon as we get through here. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to share the truth of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not just some weird ghost that again, creeps us out. The Holy Spirit is our helper and our teacher. And so today, we ask that the Holy Spirit would fill this room every time that we come, that the Holy Spirit would empower us to worship the one true God. And when we leave this place, that he would empower us to share that one true God with those that don't know him personally. Lord, give us the passion and give us the power through the strength of the Holy Spirit. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you guys for being here today. Have a blessed day.
Thank you again for listening to this message. And we hope to see you every Sunday at the Woodward Livestock Auction at 10:30.